We continue with Words for Life, a series of Christian sermons by ministers in the southern suburbs of Melbourne. Today our speaker is Reverend David Sterry of Beau Morris Mordialloc Baptist Church.
Well, the book of Nehemiah might not be a particularly familiar book to you. Perhaps it is, but for many people, the books of the Old Testament, with the exception of the Psalms, are not necessarily books that they're overly familiar with. But over the months ahead, we're going to take a closer look at the book of Nehemiah through this series, Rebuilding for a New Season. Now, I've heard it said that Nehemiah is the shortest book of the Bible, Nehemiah. But the name Nehemiah actually means God has comforted. That's what the meaning in the original Hebrew language is, God has comforted. And it's far from the shortest book in the Bible, actually. And it's one that, even if you've never particularly taken much notice of it or looked at it or be all that aware of it, there's so much to learn from it. And it's worth not just glossing over. There's so much that we can build into our lives still today from it. Its focus, one of the key focuses of the book of Nehemiah, is on rebuilding for a new season as God's people. And early in 2022 still, that's true of us at God's people at BMBC. Early in this third calendar year, since COVID and its effects have caused such difficulties, such discontinuity, such disconnections. Now, we're not in a season of rebuilding physical walls like they were in Nehemiah. But actually, there were much more than physical walls than were being rebuilt in Nehemiah, as you'll see as we look over the weeks ahead a bit closer. Connections relationally were being rebuilt. The coming together of God's people again was being rebuilt. Spiritual health and life and vitality was being rebuilt. God being restored to be the centre of people's lives was being rebuilt. A trust in God as being sovereign and being in control, even when things seemed out of control in people's lives and the circumstances were not ideal. That sense of understanding more of who God was and what God was able to do in their midst was being rebuilt. These were amongst the things that were being rebuilt in Nehemiah, not just the physical walls. And these things are very applicable to us in these times we live in as God's church at BMBC. And not just us, but other churches in our state, in our country, and indeed our world. And that's why we're doing this series, as in a church-wide way, not just, as I said, a Sunday focus, but a during-the-week focus too, in person or online. When Nehemiah was first written, God's people were far from the place, they were at a different place to what they had hoped to be at. They were in exile, they were scattered in different places, and the walls of Jerusalem that they had considered their spiritual home was not as it had been. The landscape had changed. And for us too, the landscape has changed. We cannot deny that the landscape has changed over these last couple of years because of COVID and its effects on life in our world, our country, closer to home, life in our own lives personally, or in our church community. So what do we need to be attentive to as we think about rebuilding for a new season? And it is a new season of God's work. It is a season of it's a season that we should be anticipating. It's a season that we should be expectant in, because God hasn't changed and God is still in control and God is wanting to do new things. God is still at work and we have much to anticipate and expect in that place. But what do we need to be attentive to? Firstly, we need to be attentive to the reality of the ruins. That's what Nehemiah was. First, as Dorothy read to us, verse 1, let me read. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. The walls are broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Now, what's the significance of the walls and the gates in Bible times? The walls of a city represented the security of a city. So for Nehemiah and the gates represented that too. So for Nehemiah and God's people, the walls are, and gates not just of any city, but of a city very close to their heart and life and faith, Jerusalem. For them to be broken down and in ruins brought with it a sense of vulnerability, brought with it a sense of a loss of security. I wonder, as we consider the changed landscape of life, not just beyond us in our world and community, but within our own lives individually or as God's people here at BMBC, what is there a sense of vulnerability about? What is there a sense of a loss of security about? What is in ruins compared to what it was pre-COVID? What walls have broken down? What gates are open that need rebuilding? What vulnerabilities and loss of security might there be for us as a result, as there was for Nehemiah and God's people long ago? It's important to take time to recognise what's been lost during this once-in-a-lifetime pandemic event and how that's affected our lives, either individually or together as God's people. Because Nehemiah does that here. Yes, he is committed to rebuilding for a new season, and he is anticipating and expectant what God can do, and we'll come to what he does first in a moment. But before he does that, he takes space and he takes time to grieve what is in ruins or what has been lost. Verse 4 says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept." He takes months, actually, in that process. We know that because when you get to the start of chapter 2, it's the Hebrew month of Nisan, which is 3 months after what it is at the of chapter 1, the month of Kislev. That's a three-month period. What has been lost over not just these 3 months, but what has been lost over these, into our third calendar year now, personally, as a church community, in your own life, in life more generally? And have you given yourself time and space to grieve that under God? Our Baptist denominational leader, Reverend Daniel Bullock, addressed a Baptist gathering late last year, and he said these words: "Over the last few years, it's as if a tsunami has hit our lives, turning them upside down, uprooting them completely. Everything that was a part of our lives has been disrupted, dislodged, and uprooted in our lives, in our world, in our country, in our state, in our community, and including church life. And we need to sift through the rubble and begin to rebuild." But what Nehemiah does next is critical in this process as we read about it into the second part of verse 4 and onwards through the rest of Nehemiah chapter 1. It says, "For some days I mourned and fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven." And then, verse 5, "Then I said," and then Nehemiah, prayer is outlined, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments," and I won't read it all, but right through to the rest of the chapter, Nehemiah is in prayer. He doesn't start with planning. He starts with prayer. He doesn't start with speaking to others. He starts with speaking to God in prayer. He doesn't start by panicking or losing perspective. He starts by getting God's perspective. He doesn't start by striving or stressing, but he starts by simply coming to God and bringing the situation to God in prayer. This is his first response, and it's so important that it's ours too. Prayer is not to be the spare tire in the car of our lives that we only draw on when there's no other option. But prayer is to be the wheel that drives and anchors the direction we take individually and together as God's people, and the perspective that we have in our lives. In the midst of great challenges in our own lives or our life as God's people, there are great opportunities for God to work. There are great possibilities for God to do what only God can do. There is great a great sense of only God being able to fulfill his purposes, even out of less than ideal situations. God did that over and over again with God's people in the Bible, and he still does it today in our times. But the starting point is prayer. Prayer reminds us of all that God is. Prayer reminds us of all that God has been in the past and all that God continues to be. As the beginning of Nehemiah's prayer here does. He says, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. God is our creator. God is a great and awesome God. God created the heavens and the earth. God is God keeps his promises. God is faithful. God is ultimately sovereign or in control. And nothing will ultimately stop God's purposes from being fulfilled. No virus, no effects of that virus, nothing. Over history has shown that nothing stops the fulfillment of God's purposes. And nothing has changed in that. But as Anne Graham Lotes, the late Billy Graham's daughter, puts it, often in the midst of problems, we stop short of the real blessing that God has for us, which is what? A fresh vision of who he is. Often over time in our lives as God's people, we can drift from God. We can lose sight of what's at the heart of what God calls us to. We can allow other things to distract us and detour us from God's purposes for us, and our hearts can need realigning with him and his ways. That's what was needed for God's people in Nehemiah's day, and it's still needed for us today. Prayer is the starting point in rebuilding for a new season of God's work. And I want to challenge us all today, individually and together, to truly make prayer our starting point. To not just say, yeah, prayer's important, but to build it into our lives, individually and together. You can do that through the prayer ministry on site with someone available to pray with you after our service each week, down the front here, about anything. Someone is available in a COVID-safe way. If you're watching online, you can send in a prayer request through our website or email. Contact me directly. You can do that through our prayer chain that prays for prayer needs right through the week, by getting in touch with our prayer ministry leader, David Barber. But I want to challenge us all to start each day with prayer. Now, prayer can be done at any time. Prayer can be, it doesn't have to be the start of the day. It can be at any time. But there's something about starting a season. There's something about starting a day, a new season, a new day, dependent on God. In my own experience, it makes such a difference to whether any of us go into any day with whatever is before us in it, dependent on God and aligned with his best for us or not. You can pray while you have breakfast. You can pray while you have your shower. You can pray while you drive. Just make sure you keep your eyes open and attentive to the road as well as to God. But whenever and however prayer takes place, in these creative ways or in more conventional ways, prayer is essentially a conversation with God that sets the tone for your day. So let me leave you with that challenge to us all individually and together. As we think of this new season of 2022, of life and ministry, yes, COVID is still very much in the conversation, but we're seeking to reset. We're seeking to move forward under God, and let's start with prayer. Let's have prayer as the wheel that anchors the direction of our days individually and corporately, rather than simply being a spare tire in the boot of your day. Words for